Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
It's amazing. This morning when I was sort of praying and, you know, I was feeling a bit tired, big week and everything. And I was just processing things with the Lord. And I felt, it's interesting, like He showed me this image of a construction zone and these posts that are getting built up. And what you know about pillars in construction or even foundations in general is it's always a mixture of steel and concrete to sort of to reinforce for strength. And I was just like, wow, that is interesting, you know. And I feel like the word the Lord is bringing this morning to us, it's just timely for the season. And Phil, His heart for us is that He wants to reinforce us. He wants to give us strength so that we can walk strongly. So I just want to really encourage you. I'm excited about this word. As to be honest, even preparing this message, it encouraged me too. So I just hope that in the same way that it carried me through the week, it also carries you too. Is that all right? All right, so I'm going to be reading from 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 to 10, and I'm reading from the NLT version. So I'll start reading. So this is Paul writing to Timothy, and in my Bible it says, a charge to be strong and endure suffering. Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Jesus Christ. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Verse 3, enduring suffering along with me. Sometimes us Christians don't like to hear that. Endure suffering along with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of a civilian life, for then they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. And athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. And hardworking farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Think about what I'm saying. The Lord will help you understand these things. Always remember, this is verse 8, always remember that Jesus Christ, a descendant of King David, was raised from the dead. This is the good news that I preach. And because I preach this good news, I am suffering. Ever obeyed the Lord and suffered? It's interesting. Yeah. And because I preach this good news, I am suffering and have been chained like a criminal. But the word of God cannot be chained. So I am willing to endure anything if it will bring salvation and eternal glory in Jesus Christ to those whom God has chosen. So let's pray. Father, we come before You this morning. My prayer is simple. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, help us. Holy Spirit, do what You want to do in this place. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of my sermon is A Soldier, an Athlete, and a Farmer, Graced to Overcome. And I want you to look to your left and tell your neighbor, you are graced to overcome. Okay, let's try that a bit louder again. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you are graced to overcome. Then turn to the other neighbor and say, you are graced to overcome. Then tell yourself, I am graced to overcome. That's more like it right there. So just to give you a bit of context to this passage, we've got Paul here writing to Timothy. So Paul established the church of Ephesus, which is now modern day Turkey, over a 3-year period, and handed its leadership to Timothy, who was basically his disciple and his protege. Timothy would have been a half Greek, half Jewish man. So Timothy would have been taught the Old Testament by his mother and his grandmother prior to following Jesus under Paul's ministry during Paul's first mission trip. So that's when they met. Paul clearly was Timothy's mentor and friend, and they traveled together during their Paul's second mission trip. So it's amazing how Timothy technically started off as a missionary with Paul, then ended up being a pastor. Oh boy, if you want a pastor well, do missions well. It's always the mission first. Then Timothy was with Paul during his imprisonment around 60 after the death of Christ, and then became a pastor afterwards. So it stands to reason that Paul understood hardship and fruitfulness, and Timothy witnessed it because he spent enough time with them before he got dispatched. So therefore, Paul, before we dig into these words, it's very clear that Paul has enough credibility to encourage Timothy because he's done the yards. And can I just encourage you, if you're looking for somebody to mentor you in your life, look for that credibility, you know, because you don't want somebody to mentor you who doesn't know what they're talking about. You don't want suggestions. You want stuff that actually works, that comes from here. Is that all right? It's good. Sorry if I'm a bit loud, but it is what it is. This is what you signed up for this morning. So there's pressing issues over here. And for Timothy as a young pastor. So one of the initial pressing issues is that persecution from the Roman government. So here's the thing. If you were in the kingdom of Rome, Romans actually believed that their emperor was God. So if you're a pastor, or let alone a believer, and you're walking into that atmosphere, and you are saying Jesus is Lord, basically you are signing up for possibly, definitely persecution, and it would be treated as treason, and you could possibly get a death sentence. So this is why Paul's writing to Timothy about all this stuff, because he knows what Timothy and the church are facing at this point. Like, Christians were actually subject to mass executions because of this. Prime example being Jesus. Then the second issue that Timothy was also facing in the situation was that there was false teachers who had made their way into this church. Wolves dressed as sheep. And why were they false teachers? Because there was a false teaching and an incorrect view of who Jesus is. What was happening was that in this day, many asserted that Christ was divine, but he was not human. He was man and he was God. And the problem with that is it takes away from the message of the gospel. Because if Christ had not walked the earth as a human, there's no crucifying him, right? It's pointless. He cannot relate to us. So this is Timothy, a young pastor. On the outside, he's pressed. So the Roman government, they don't like him. On the inside, he's also pressed because he's dealing with this false gospel. Then the third point was his age. You know, he was receiving criticism about being too young to pastor. But obviously, Paul didn't care about that because he's the one who mentored him to begin with. And it's interesting with his age because I did a bit of homework, and scholars have speculated that in as much as he was criticizing for being young, by the time you would have led that church, you would have been somewhere between the ages of 31 to 39 years. But his discipleship journey would have started anywhere between 16 and 24. Yeah. So, and on top of that, Timothy clearly, when he starts writing this letter, at the very top, he speaks to him as speaking a father speaking to a son. So look, it's hard days for Timothy at this point. Because just put yourself in his shoes and you're dealing with all those conditions and you're under pressure, right? Just imagine the pressure of being called to lead, but only to be criticized for received lack of experience on top of dealing with false doctrine creeping into the church. All wrapped up in the pretty bold tie of persecution from a jurisdictional authority presiding over you. You can't even escape them because that's where you've been called to. So it stands to reason that Timothy would have been fearful or even absolutely reluctant in the face of this magnitude of opposition. So Paul offers Timothy a remedy to this. Now, I know you might be listening to this message and thinking, well, dude, I'm not planting a church. So does this apply to me? There's a principle in there that's there for every believer. And this is what I feel the Lord wants to give to us so that we can endure in seasons where we are pressed on the outside, like life is just happening, but also pressed in the inside because everybody's dealing with something of some sort, right? Exactly. So Paul offers a remedy. So the first remedy Paul offers is the grace of God. Come on, everybody repeat, the grace of God. Turn to your neighbor, tell them the grace of God. Turn to the other one, say the grace of God. Awesome. So yeah, in 1 Timothy 2 verse 1, Paul literally states, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Jesus Christ. And if you read it in the Passion Translation, it says, Timothy, my dear son, live your life empowered by God's free-flowing grace, which is your true strength. If there's a true strength, there's a false one. Found in the anointing of Jesus and your union with him. Here's the deal. Grace is like a coin with two sides. On one side, it's God's unmerited favor. In other words, you get what you didn't deserve. We deserve death. But we found favor in God because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And now you are hidden in Christ. Colossians 3:3 puts it this way, for you died to this life and your real life is hidden within Christ. So there's that one side to grace where you literally get what you didn't deserve. There's nothing you could do about it, you know, which is beautiful. That's the message of the gospel. In other words, when God looks at you, he sees you through the rose-colored lens of the blood of Jesus. But then the other side of this coin of this beautiful thing called grace is divine empowerment. Everybody say divine empowerment. Divine empowerment is the ability and unction to get the job done. It's literally the power of the Holy Spirit on you to get things done. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians 12. He says, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. In other words, you know, if husbands and wives love each other, you need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. For me to come in and preach, I need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. For me to be an effective worker at my workplace, I need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit because I am a Christian. I'm not called to rely on myself. That's good. So here's the deal. Grace is free. You can't earn it. But you have to position yourself to receive grace. Yeah. And it's always the positioning that costs us. That's good. Yeah, it's the position that costs. It's free, but it'll cost you. just get that concept in you. It's free, but it'll cost you. In other words, let me give you an example. Everyone's got a phone in here, right? Yeah. What happens when you don't charge your phone? It dies, right? Is it the power company's fault? No. It's just because you didn't plug it in. Right? Yeah. Right? Yeah, exactly. Same thing. That's how it works. So Paul is telling Timothy, hey, you need to posture yourself to receive divine empowerment to make it through what you're going through. For us, what does this imply? It says, stay close to the Lord. Read your word. Get the word in you. Stay consistent in prayer. Come to our upper room. Come to our monthly prayer meeting. Pray when you're at home. Pray when you're in the car. Just, you know, pray unending. So that's one remedy that Paul gives and applies to us too. Then the second remedy that Paul gives, he says to be a good soldier. Everybody say a good soldier. So yeah, in 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 to 4, it says, endure suffering along with me as a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Soldiers don't get tied up in the affairs of a civilian life, for they cannot please the officer who enlisted them. I think maybe it was somewhere along COVID. Like, I'm obsessed with all things army. Give me an action movie. Give me anything that involves an army. I'll watch it. Like, no issues at all. So I started watching this series called, I think it's called SEAL Team 6 or something like that. Yeah, I properly binged and everything. And yeah, I did. And here's the thing. So these Navy SEALs, these are the highest operational soldiers within the U.S. Army. And basically, even the word SEAL, it's an acronym for sea, air, and land. Their specialty is they can get the job done at any cost. They'll drop from the sky. They'll sneak from under the ocean. They'll march on land, run, you name it. That's their specialty. And they are pretty much called when there's no one else to call to. So in terms of selection process, they have the most rigor. If you want to be a SEAL, you're going to go through the most rigorous selection process just because that efficiency is needed. And here's the thing. Us, the church, we're actually God's SEAL team on the planet. We are those soldiers, you know. Yeah, we are those soldiers. We are God's primary instrument for winning souls within the earth. But here's the thing with training for soldiers. This is how it goes. If you really think about it, at the end of the day, training for soldiers is to make them comfortably uncomfortable. When soldiers go into barracks, when they go through training, all the training camps and everything, they're being trained to get out of the trenches and run into action when bullets are flying towards them. And I would like to suggest to us that this is what Paul is saying to Timothy when he says, be a good soldier. Be a good soldier. Be comfortable being uncomfortable in situations that I've put you, because you are my agent in the earth. But here's the beauty about this. Like, you don't have to do it in your own strength. God gives you grace. But you have to posture yourself to say, Lord, I will go. I mean, if you look at the word of the Bible, there are countless examples of people who had to get uncomfortable, being uncomfortable serving the Lord. Think of David facing Goliath. He's essentially just a kid. And to make matters worse, like, he's just got stones in the sling. Have you ever thought about that in a real practical way? And he raises his hand, he says, I will take down that giant. And he takes down that giant. That's the grace of God right there, you know. Think of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Giving them an all-day challenge, then he calls down fire. That's the grace of God. Think of even Ruth. She could have died, but she stood up anyway. That's the grace of God, and it's available to all of us. And here's the one thing that I personally love about the grace of God. What God gives grace for, He alone gets glory for. Grace positions you for glory. You will never walk in the glory of God if you're not willing to be positioned to receive grace from God, because you end up walking in impossible situations and find that God just does something with you. So number two is be a good soldier. And even when the word goes to the effect of saying, don't get tied up in civilian affairs, we just have to be okay with the fact that there's a call, there's a sacrifice. You know, typical soldiers, when they're on duty, they have to go. Sometimes they have to forego those, you know, those coffee sessions that we have midweek and everything. Sometimes they have to forego that. Sometimes they have to live in tents. They do what they have to do to get the job done. And that's what God is calling us to do. But all of this is empowered by grace. Is that all right? That's good. I know it's a bit heavy, but yeah, don't worry. It'll keep you. Then the third remedy that Paul offers to Timothy, he says, be like an athlete. Everybody say athlete. Athlete. In 2 Timothy 2:5, it says, and athletes cannot win the prize unless they follow the rules. You won't get crowned unless you run the race. But more than running the race is sticking with the rules. I love cycling. I haven't been cycling a lot lately, though, but I'm into all things cycling. I love weightlifting, like bodybuilding, powerlifting, all of that. Do it all day and all night. I know I don't look like a cyclist, but just stay with me. But there was this famous cyclist by the name Lance Armstrong, one of the famous ever. He won all these accolades, all these trophies and everything. I didn't even cycle then, and I knew of him. That's how famous he was. Only to get busted for doping, you know? And everything got stripped away. Every accolade he had got stripped away, you know? I think Paul is kind of hinting in that direction to say, hey, this race that we've been called to run, following Jesus actually comes with its own rules, you know? You know, if you're a husband and you're married and the word has something to say about how you need to love your wife, you know, if you're a wife and if you're a wife too, the word has something to say about how you're to love your husband. If you're single, the word has something to say about how you're supposed to conduct yourself, you know? Finances, like Pastor Levi was saying, the word has something to say about how we are supposed to handle our finances. The word has everything to say about how we are supposed to run like athletes. But we must stick to the rules. Otherwise, if we do not stick to the rules, we go nowhere. There's no endurance if you actually don't stick to the rules. I was even thinking about it. When it comes to things, think about it. Let's say you're in a game of rugby. Let's say you're in a game of soccer, and it's a soccer match and everything. Then I step onto the field. There I go like, you know what? I used to be a rugby player. I'm just going to come in and just tackle you. I'm going to get sent off, yeah. Right? Yeah. Stick to the rules. Yeah. Stick to the rules and you will endure. I read this very interesting quote, and it says, for some people, their spiritual arrangement goes something like this. I know this is sin, but God understands, so I'll just keep going, doing the sin. But that very attitude goes against the attitude of an athlete who must compete according to the rules. But here's the beautiful news again. Even with God saying what he's saying about us running, competing like athletes, he said there is grace again. You just have to choose to live that way. Then God goes, okay, cool. I can give you grace to run that race. So that's the third piece of advice Paul offers to Timothy. Be like an athlete. Is that right? Then number four, Paul says, be like a hard-working farmer. 2 Timothy 2, verse 6 says, and hard-working farmers should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. You know, when I was sort of processing this, I began to think, I was just laughing to myself because I was just like, I'm not your typical green thumbs kind of guy. Like, the furthest we'll go is cutting the lawns and rooting out the weeds, and that's it. But where I stay, we happen to stay right at the back end of Point Cook. So every time I go for a bike ride or a drive, we're literally straight into the farms. And the interesting thing about this farming area is I think they farm a lot of cabbages. And I remember riding on my bike and just going like, what is that putrid smell? Just go like, ugh. And at the same time realizing like there is no turning back. It's too late. I just have to ride through. And that's cabbage farms. It was a mixture of just the cabbages smelling and the manure all together. Just picture that. And you're trying to catch your breath at the same time because you're riding with a couple of guys who ride at 30 kilometers per hour. It's absolutely crazy. But here's my point. Like, one, farming, you have to be okay with the fact that you have to get your hands dirty as a Christian. As in, do the work, get on your knees, get in the field, do the work. It's going to stink, let me just tell you. Some days I'm just not going to be comfortable, but that's what we're called to. And that's what we're graced for. And think about it. Have you ever heard of a lazy farmer? Just the phrase lazy farmer. It is an oxymoron. It makes no absolute sense. The two should just not be compatible. And the same should be said about us as believers. Paul knew the value of hard work. Like he says this in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 10. But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me. Grace. And not without results. For I have worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. Paul literally sets the example, and therefore he's qualified to advise Timothy. Paul just wasn't called. He just wasn't blessed. He just wasn't anointed. Paul was hardworking, and his ministry would have been far less than it was if he had not worked hard. Here's the thing. Your life is ministry. My life is ministry. Sometimes we forget that. I definitely forget it sometimes, and I ain't reminding. But far beyond we get to pulpits, far beyond we get to Saturdays or anything, like, you know, when I'm at home and I'm mopping the floors, that's ministry. Picking up the rubbish, that's ministry. Loving your wife, husband, that's ministry. Teaching at work, that's ministry. We must work hard. I think... Laziness, and you know, I've been there before. I'm not claiming to be perfect or anything, but laziness in Christianity is just, it almost mocks God. Because that's almost like a statement of saying that there's no grace to do this, so I'm not going to work hard. It just doesn't work. And then Paul further goes on to say that they should be the first to enjoy the fruit of their labor. I was actually having a laugh about this because I was trying to understand this. I'm like, what exactly are you trying to say, Lord? And he took me to this passage, to this whole message altogether when I was preparing it. Because you know what the thing about this message is, in preparing it, it preached to me before I could even preach to you guys about how to conduct myself this week. Because I was tired, like there's a lot going on and everything. And I'm just going like, Lord, I'm tired. Can you get somebody else to do this? And he's just like, no, I need you. I need you to work hard because the first fruit that you're going to enjoy is from you obeying this. Then hopefully others will obey it. That's us, guys. That's us. This is our call. But with all this having been said and done, it's all undergirded by the one thing. The grace of God. That's why Paul starts with the grace of God. Then after that, lists the requirement because he knows we cannot do it in our own strength. So I'm telling you right now, I feel like the Lord is just trying to just let us know in 2024 Numa West that, hey, things may be tough, things may be difficult, even your own walk with the Lord, but there is grace. And this grace that is available can usher you into these places where you can actually even work hard. Is that all right? Yeah, so it's just a very simple message. You don't need to get fancy because it's God's word. He deals with the rest. So I'm just going to ask, just as the band comes up and even the prayer team, because I feel like God wants to do business with people this morning.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.